When you need the independence to speak your mind, you take it on the all-new talk radio, Freedom 106.5 FM.
And now for lunchtime, Doctor, your favorite, Dr. Sophia Mohammed. She's in the house today after a very successful showing yesterday at Superfarm. Good afternoon to you, Doc.
Good afternoon, Bass, and good afternoon to all of our listeners right here in Trinidad and Tobago, across the region, in USA, in Canada, wherever in the world you are, locked in to your lunchtime doctor. A warm welcome to you. As you all know, this is your program to dissect those medical challenges. Here's where we get to figure it out and identify what those very important next steps will be. What are those red flags? What do you need to know about your medical condition? And most importantly, I want to know what's on your lunchtime plate. What health habits are you learning on this program? And what are you sharing with your community? All right here within the next hour. So let's get this show on the road. And of course, send in your questions.
All right, 627-3223, 625-2257. Those are the numbers to call. And of course, for all of our first-time listeners and texters or WhatsApp messages, 306-1065. Of course, we're being heard simultaneously on Sangeet 106.1 FM, Sky 99.5 FM, and Vive City 105. Feel free to message our other frequencies, and you could send your messages right to us.
So yesterday, while we were at Superfarm, there were many customers that came in and asked specific questions. You know, one of the most common questions that came forward is the question that you all always ask as well on this program. That pain on the bottom of their feet, the tingling, the numbness. We've talked numerous times on diabetic neuropathy, and we've talked about hypertensive neuropathy. But even before that, today we want to address, so stay tuned to the program, we're going to address how this nerve damage affects not just your lower limbs, your entire body, and what can you do? What multivitamins are there out there? What steps can you do to prevent further damage?
All right. Our questions started coming in here, of course, 306-1065, and the numbers to call in once again, 627-3223 and 625-2257. Did you get a sense yesterday? Of course, a lot of diabetes. It's amazing how many questions we get about diabetes, Doc.
There were many questions on diabetes. There were many questions on pain. There are many persons who are concerned about what multivitamin as well to take, and what multivitamin will affect or they can't use with their medications. But yes, Trinidad and Tobago, unfortunately, is plagued by diabetes.
Oh, that's so sad.
The thing that bothers me the most is that this is a lifestyle disease.
Yep.
It's preventable. To all of our listeners, I'm sure those who are tuned in today or our regular listeners would know, I've shared openly, both my parents are diabetic. What does that mean? I am at 75% risk. At this age, at present, and I keep monitoring because it's something I want to make sure that does not happen in terms of complications, I would make sure, looking at my nutrition, exercise, try to manage those stress levels, sleep. Do I get it right all the time? No. Even as a doctor, we may not get it right all the time. But that doesn't inhibit you from keep trying every day. Some days my stress levels are through the roof. Some days I may not get to eat well. That doesn't mean I'm going to compromise and eat poorly at the end of the day. And every day without fail, I make sure I get at least 10 to 15 minutes exercising and some moments with mindfulness to bring some level of calm, yoga, into my life. And that's just my humble recipe. Yesterday, quite a few persons who came into the store also asked, Doc, what do you do to stay so positive? I got that. Off air quite a few times. When we came off, a lot of persons came to say, you know, they tune into the program, they listen to the voice, they just wanted to meet the doctor, and they asked, quite a few asked, what do I do to stay so positive? It starts with prayer. It starts with being gracious to all of the blessings, even when there are difficult times. Yesterday was a difficult day because my son started his new school and I had to be in a different space. However, we all have to balance different roles, being grateful for the blessings, and of course, it also community, your tribe, those that you can depend on and those that depend on you, knowing that you have to step it up and deliver. Most importantly, is taking care of yourself and taking care of your loved ones. There's a certain feeling of fulfillment when you're taking care of your loved ones. And to all of our listeners, I'm sure you feel the love over this mic.
All right. Of course we do. Right. Good day, Doc. I had a mass that was confirmed in my kidney. I took out the kidney. Do you think there is possibility I may have cancer?
Thank you so much for letting us know. Now, at present, any mass, any growth, any tumor, it must be tested for in terms of histology to see if it is a cancerous process. I wouldn't be able to say off the gun simply because I don't know what other signs and symptoms you were experiencing. I am very relieved that they took out the mass. Even if it was then you can be assured that mass is completely out of you. What are those next steps that your healthcare professionals would be guiding you on? If they're suggesting chemotherapy and radiotherapy, then possibly, and I'm sorry to be the one who's delivering that bad news, possibly it may be a cancer. However, your reassurance is we've treated a number of kidney tumors here in this country, and that pathway, that patient navigation pathway, is well established. So my advice to you, keep following your medical advice of the team, and I'm sure pay attention to your nutrition and exercise, and you're well on your way to good health.
All right, good day, doctor. I'm getting trouble going off about 3 days now. I use prune juice, hot water, fiber stuff, but it's very, very little, seen very little effort.
So anyone who's experiencing constipation, it again can be quite debilitating. I'm glad you already started your prune juice, but here are some other things you can do. Instead of using just the fiber powder, why not activate using the foods that will add that natural fibers to you? That may be your green leafy vegetables, as they say, the cruciferous vegetables, spinach, lettuce, even if you want to add cauliflower to it. Another important thing to check and see is if there's any blood passing on the passageway, because it may be something blocking the passageway. That is something that needs to be evaluated. 3 days, I'm not overly concerned. If it passes 5 days with absolutely no bowel action, then please present a healthcare professional. If at present, after 3 days of not having a bowel action, and you're feeling tummy pain, you're getting nauseous, vomiting, then right away, no delays, present to that healthcare professional and get evaluated.
Back in the days, we used to have milk of magnesia.
That's right. Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
we don't sell that anymore.
That doesn't, but there is still a number of products, OTC, over-the-counter products that can help. But let's start with eating right. And of course, you know what? Even some exercises. Just making sure your stretches can move the peristalsis motions in the gut. So a couple things, but we want to make sure there isn't anything blocking the passage, like a growth or a tumor.
All right. What can I do, Doc, if my sugar is high? What vitamins can I take?
So how high is that sugar? If your sugar is high, as in blood glucose levels over 120, anything over 120 milligrams per deciliter, that is something we absolutely do not want. If you're on medications, please take your medications first and foremost. Two, let's make sure you're cutting down in that sugar usage wherever you can. Let's look at the multivitamins. Anyone who's diabetic tends to be deficient in the vitamin B, vitamin B1, B2, B6, etc. So there is a multivitamin called thiamine that tends to be very useful. You also can optimize your zinc, your calcium. We've seen most of our diabetic patients have a deficiency in zinc because their body can become immunocompromised. But The first most important bit of advice is please stay consistent, compliant with your medications that will help bring those sugar numbers down.
All right. Good day, doctor. Sometimes when I'm sitting upright or even laying down, I feel as though something is touching my left rib cage or rubbing against it. I had a severe case of scoliosis years ago and did an operation. But this new feeling has developed sometime last year. What can this be? Also, one side of my rib was always slightly higher than the next due to the scoliosis.
Right. So to all of our listeners, what exactly is scoliosis? Is when there is that curvature of the spine, that is the vertebrae that makes up the spine, that then it can compromise, just as the patient shared, can compromise their sitting, the way they sit. It can compromise even their breathing. So I don't want you to ignore, to the person who sent any message, don't ignore what you are experiencing, especially if it was that curved, so the normal curvature was affected, that surgery was required. So if you're experiencing some sort of discomfort, next step is make an appointment. Probably we may need to do certain x-rays to look again at, of course, the curvature of the spine. We may need to do both angles, lateral and, of course, when we say sagittal, that's different angles of the spine. That's just radiological investigations to see exactly what's happening with your rib cage. Persons who have scoliosis, just as the person mentioned, may have uneven shoulders. They may even have different curvatures bending on the back. This is crucial if you are indeed experiencing any additional signs and symptoms. So are you experiencing any numbness, any tingling, any pain in your lower limbs? Please, let's make sure that we not only get it checked out, but take that next step. Because guess what? In addition to the surgery, there are braces we can utilize. There are different shoes as well that can be utilized to just help keep that balance and alignment. All of that can improve your quality of life. So take that next step, return to the doctor, return to your healthcare professional, and let's make sure we get it checked out. Hope that answers your question.
18 minutes after 12 o'clock, you're listening to The Lunchtime Doctor here on Freedom 106.5 FM, Sky 99.5, Vibe City 105 FM, and of course, Freedom 106.5 FM, Sangeet 106.1 FM as well. With the kind compliments of Super Farm, the numbers to call 627-3223, 625-2257, and feel free to message us at 306-1065. Good day, Doc. I am 41 years of age. I have a sickle cell trait and rheumatoid arthritis, taking medication for both, but recently, in the past couple months, my menstrual period have become very painful. What can you do to help me?
No, it's really unfortunate that you're experiencing both sickle cell trait and rheumatoid arthritis. That on its own will, that combination will cause a fair amount of pain. Unfortunately, with the menstrual cycle, yes, there can be elevated pain. Here's what we need to look at. A person with a trait, anytime they're in a place of feeling anemic, as in the HB, the blood count is reduced, then pain can become exacerbated. Even if there are changes in the environment, changes in temperature, changes in what you're accustomed eating, all of that can exacerbate pain. So what we'd want you to do, first and foremost, is make sure if you're on any sort of pain relief, that you're staying consistent with that. Most importantly, let's also take a pause, and once you know when your cycle, when your days, and when it's expected, then at least 2 days before, you can start by taking the painkillers even before that. In terms of if the pain gets really serious, then you can certainly present to the healthcare professional. Persons with sickle cell trait, we tend to, if they are in pain crises, then we may even need to administer IV pain medication. Because even it's not the full-blown sickle cell, those with the trait can experience excessive pain. So let's not compromise any sort of quality of life, make that next step, get it checked out, and know there is pain relief that can ease those pains.
Okay, good afternoon, doctor. I have this cough for the past 10 days, drinking cough syrup, bush medicine as well. No ease up. What can I do?
Now, this morning I was having a conversation with a colleague who just flew in and confirmed COVID on, in terms of she having this cough as well. And when she was advised to just please go and get checked, it did indeed turn out to be COVID. So while we are still not hearing about it, there are still cases of COVID-19 circulated, small numbers, thankfully, but let's just make sure that it's still known that it's on the radar. If it's a cough that's not clearing, it would be worthy to just get that COVID-19 test. It can also, I don't know what the rest of the history is, if it's allergies, if it is indeed a cough because of, say, the dust in the environment. But here are a couple of things that can help clear the cough. I'm pretty certain you've probably already tried some of the decongestants. There are a couple expectorants or decongestants that can help clear the mucus. A cough tends to happen when there's an excessive amount of mucus. Let's clear that mucus and you will see the cough easing. A cough can also happen if there's a post-nasal drip. That's when the sinuses gets affected, and that can worsen or present with a dry cough in the night or first thing in the morning. So let's see what is the trigger for the cough, and of course treat the trigger. You'll find the cough easing. Hope that answers your question.
Let's get a call here. Hello, good afternoon. Welcome to the lunchtime, doctor.
Hello, good afternoon. Doc, I just want to ask a question. Comparing now today with the medication that we are taking, would you recommend, and we have naturopathy also, would you recommend taking the naturopathy medicine? Because you know that when we take the normal medication at times, some people tend to get severe reactions to it. And the fear now of taking these medications, you know, leave one that to consider when they get a prescription, buy or not to buy. Mm-hmm. So what would you say in terms of the naturopathy way and the treatment way of this taking medication?
So very good question. Now, this advice is based on being in the medical field for almost 20 years, very much pursuing the naturopathic way. In fact, I have pursued lifestyle medicine at Harvard and even done training in India. And I'm a strong fan of the naturopathic way. But here's the end research or the concluding advice. When it comes to specific disease processes, be it diabetes, hypertension, cancer, autoimmune, rheumatoid arthritis, specific medications will help prevent further complications and help narrowing the disease process. Nothing is wrong with integrating the medications, but don't choose one over the other, because then you're going to compromise your body and you're going to put your body at further risk. So let's say a diabetic, or let's say someone even who had cancer. One may say they're not going to take the chemotherapy drugs because it can be quite debilitating, and they're going to just treat it through naturopathic. What's going to happen is that cancer is going to progress very quickly, and the naturopathic will just palliate or placate the symptoms. So what I always suggest to any of my patients that ask this exact question, sure, integrate any additional supplementation medication, but do not hesitate to take the medication that's prescribed, because this is well researched, documented on not one or two patients, but hundreds and thousands of patients. And the research is one that we want to effectively treat the patient with that disease process. So very good question. I appreciate it. And I hope you also appreciate the answer.
All right, once again, lunchtime, Dr. with the kind compliments of Super Farm, 627-3223, 625-2257. Good morning, doctor. Is folic acid needed for a person aged 69?
Great question. So folic acid, yes, In the elderly, they tend to have different micronutrient deficiencies. However, if you're eating well, you will get that folic acid from your green leafy vegetables, your vegetables on the whole. If one's appetite is not optimal, then sure, you certainly can use folic acid. Folic acid, however, is a mandatory for anyone who wants to consider getting pregnant or anyone who is indeed pregnant in that first trimester. Mandatory in terms of it's necessary for the neural development of the baby, or in that case, it'll be the fetus. So the real time that we need the folic acid is mainly at that age. Not so much at the age 69, unless there are indeed concerns with appetite or absorption. Now, yesterday, we learned something specifically when it comes to, let me just pull this up, when it comes to what happens at Superfarm on Tuesdays. So while today itself is Wednesday, to all of our elderly patients, on Tuesdays, there is a specific discount for seniors. There's a 10% discount to anyone who is checking in, who is getting their medications on Tuesdays. They specifically call it their senior citizen specials. So to all who, especially the person who just asked about the folic acid, if you do have to get that, know you can check in on a Tuesday.
All right, good stuff. Hi, doctor. Does intermittent fasting affect your health? And is there any scientific evidence that it actually works?
Good question. Host of research that yes, it does work, but it should be guided by a healthcare professional. So yes, there are complications if you're not applying it the way it should be. What can happen? One can be sent into a state of starvation. You're triggering a ketosis process within the body if it's not guided by a healthcare professional. Yes, there are a lot of research that shows it can work, but most persons that I've actually had conversations with are not implementing the intermittent fasting in the way it should be. So let's continue to just make sure you're being guided by a healthcare professional.
Dear doc, at what age does a woman stop getting her monthlies?
Good question. We've actually talked about right here on the Lunchtime Doctor about perimenopause and then the ages for menopause. The mean age tends to be around that 49, 50, 51, which means in the years just before that, one may cease seeing their menstrual cycle. So probably out around 48, 49, one, it can be a little before, it can be after, but that tends to be the mean age. But what happens is that you may miss your cycle for a month or two and then it returns. You may then miss the cycle for about 3 or 4 months and then it returns. It may come back to regular every month and then you may start missing the cycle again. That tends to happen in addition to some of the symptoms of perimenopause. So you're pretty much going to recognize you're in this perimenopausal stage. What is the definition of menopause? Is indeed when one has not seen the cycle, your menstrual cycle, for a full year. Once you've not had a cycle for the full year, then you are certainly in that menopausal stage.
All right, let's take this call. Hello, good afternoon. Welcome.
Yes, boy, what's up?
Okay, sir.
Doc, the other side of the doctor here. I'm a young doctor. I just need my telescope. Okay, doc, listen to this. My neighbor here, give me some result here. Thank you for this week, for this education. He getting also hard to fast water. I say, boy, you have prostate problem. But he enlarged. Say, no. He bring me paper here, and this is the PSA result, doc. The result is 1.36 unit ng-ml. Range 0.802 to 0.00. Could you see? His problem is, doc, when he tries to pass water, he cannot. And if he belch, so this is a first time for me. I first time I hear this. So I call the doctor and ask him. When he belch and the gas come out, he could pass the water. I never hear anything like this. Doc, thanks for not be listening up here.
So thank you so much for this very informative case. And you're quite correct. Anyone who is having difficulty passing urine, one of the key things we want to rule out is indeed any sort of prostatic problems. It could be prostatic hypertrophy, where the prostate gland is indeed enlarged. But the more common reasons is a urinary tract infection, a UTI. Yes, we see that more in females than males, but males can also present with a UTI. Now, you didn't give me a very important bit of information. What's his age? The value you gave me, as I've said quite a few times, we tend not to just treat a value, because it's so important that we do an examination to examine to make sure there isn't any enlargement of the prostate. The value could be absolutely normal and the prostate can still be enlarged. That's why we put all of the pieces of puzzle together. But let's look at the fact that he's experiencing difficulty in passing urine. One, I want to rule out the most common things in the male bracket, which is prostate problems. In addition to the value, what we need is for him to just get a full checkup by his healthcare professional. Kidney stones is another huge reason why persons may have difficulty in passing urine, and quite common in our population. And of course, we just mentioned a UTI. So those are the common ones. We would definitely want him to get checked out. Note, there are a number of things that can be done. It's just crucially important he takes that next step to get checked out. But thank you so much for that question.
All right, folks, you're listening to The Lunchtime Doctor with the kind compliments of Super Farm on Freedom 106.5 FM, Sangit 106.1, Sky 99.5, and Vibe City 105 FM. Your calls. Hello, good afternoon.
Yeah, good afternoon, Doc. I'm 71 years. I had an issue with my heart, with palpitations and irregular heartbeat. I went to the health center. They referred me to go to Shagwana's. However, the doctor there told me to do two tests, that is the Holter and the Holter and the echocardiogram. Mm-hmm. So I did the test, I got the results, I took it, and the doctor gave me a tablet for the heart. It's called Taliton.
Mm-hmm.
My question is, in the X-ray for the heart, they see that I had a hole in the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And it was possibly from birth, you know, and maybe now as I get older, maybe symptoms coming up. So can you elaborate on this a little bit for me, please? Thank you.
Most definitely. Thank you so much for taking the next steps, going ahead, following through, getting the ECG, getting the echo. Now, that particular medication, carvedilol, or the trade name is the what you mentioned, and we won't necessarily mention the trade names on the radio. That is a very specific, well-documented, well-researched medication for treatment of high blood pressure or patients with any sort of heart disease to prevent the onset of heart attacks. So first and foremost, please continue taking that medication. Now let's talk about the compromised heart, which is where there was some sort of defect anatomically, the hole in the heart. What I would want to let you know is that anyone who presents with these symptoms of a hole in the heart would typically present in the earlier stages, as in from childhood or even as baby. So the fact that it's now presenting is not something that I'm overly worried about. What I'm overly concerned about is how is it complicating the heart? Is it causing the heart to be enlarged? Is it causing any fluid retention throughout the body? Because if the heart is enlarged and the blood vessels are indeed compromised, then you're going to start to have either left-sided heart failure, you may see swelling at the ankles. Those are the things that I'm concerned about. So the very next conversation that you're having with your healthcare professional is find out, in addition to what the X-ray says, is what the echo and the ECG says in terms of the complications. Because the hole in the heart may be one of the reasons why you're presenting with this now, but it's not the typical reason. That would have presented much earlier in the adolescent, as a child, and that would have had complicating factors earlier on, not at this point in time. Sometimes these things can be what we say a red herring, not necessarily what's causing it, but something we discover in the examination process. Keep, please, best advice, stay consistent with your medications and your very next appointment. Now is a good time to cut down on that salt. See if you can get at least a little bit of exercise in your heart, in your daily habits. You want to include a little bit of resistance exercise. What does that mean? A little bit of building muscles. So you want to do weight training. So when we say weight training, we're not putting heavy weights. You may just use the 10 kilograms, the smaller weights, but continue repetition in terms of the exercise. All of that will help strengthen that heart muscle. So I hope that answers your question. I hope it allays some of your fears. It may not be the hole in the heart that's causing this concern. Hope that answers your question.
Let's take a call. Hello, good afternoon.
Thanks again, Doc. Doc, yes, pumpkin seed housing. I'm going to go and get pumpkin seed, but it's been green. Greenish in color. I eat a spoonful every day. Okay? Now, when you've got a pumpkin, it's a million of seeds and it's brownish. Could we eat the pumpkin seed when you cut the pumpkin or put it to dry or what? We listen off it. Thanks a lot for the education.
You're most welcome. So, definitely, when you're just cutting the pumpkin, no, we're not having the pumpkin seeds just like that. Here's what I suggest. Exactly as you were mentioning, you would want to wash it out, dry it. You can even do a little bit of roasting of that pumpkin seed. You're not just going to have it just like that. Definitely give it a little bit of a preparation before you engage or indulge in putting that through your digestive system. Yes, host of health benefits using those pumpkin seeds, but of course it's easy to use the ones that are already prepared. Hope that answers your question.
All right, folks, of course, 6273223. Let's go again. Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Doctor, I would like to know, when is the best time to take a supplement?
Thank you so much for the question. The supplement you're talking about, oh, I think it came off there. Is it your medications or it if it's multivitamin? If it's a multivitamin, then the best time I would say is first thing in the morning. You want to have it just after you've had your daily, your breakfast. And you can have it along with if you're on any additional medications. Most times it wouldn't contradict with the medications that you're on. If the supplement you're mentioning is indeed your actual medications, some medications have different recommended times. Some medications are recommended to take in the nighttime. Some medications are recommended at breakfast first thing in the morning. So it really depends on what you meant by that supplement. Hope that answers.
All right. Hello, good afternoon. Welcome. Hello. Lost that one there. 6273223. 6252257. Let's try again. Hello, good afternoon. Welcome to the Lunchtime Doctor.
Yes, good afternoon, Mason Doctor. Dr. Seuss, greetings to everybody. Doctor, you talk about breathing exercise.
Yes.
The best way should be between nostrils and exhale through the mouth. Or treating nostrils and treating nostrils again. Which is the best way? Thank you, Violet Morse.
Very good question. Now, I am pretty certain all of Trinidad know that we do not breathe well. And this is why breathing exercises are so important. Most persons breathe very shallow and only use about one third of their lungs. So what is the best way for breathing? I don't think on our daily, as we move along, we're going to be able to breathe through the nostrils and out through the mouth on any given point in time. However, it is important if we can get that 5-10 minutes away from your daily activities where you can just focus on the depth of your breathing, then yes, I would certainly recommend in through the nostrils and out through the mouth. Keep in mind, that's not for your every time, every moment breathing, because your normal breathing itself is an autonomic process, as in it happens just very automatically. We don't actually think about our breathing. When we take that pause to stop and think of how the breath flows in and out, then we certainly will recognize that we need to breathe a little bit deeper. We need to fill our entire lungs. One of the best exercises that we do with even our children, students, even patients who are in states of anxiety is breathe 4 seconds on the inhale, pause for 5, and then 6 seconds on the exhale. Crucially important to get your exhalation a little bit longer than the inhalation because there's a buildup of carbon dioxide within the body. So the breathing in through the mouth, in through the nostril, out through the mouth, when you're engaged in either meditation or mindfulness, but on any given general day, you can continue through in through the nostrils and out through the nostrils.
Hello, good afternoon, welcome. Hello. All right, lost that one there. Lunchtime, Doctor. Of course, we'll be in Hood on Freedom 106.5 FM, Sangeet 106.1, Sky 99.5, and Vibe City 105 FM with the kind compliments of Super Farm. Let's try again. Hello, good afternoon. Hello. Okay, that line is giving a little problem. Let's go back to our WhatsApp. Good day, Doctor. Can you explain how does one lose weight via body mass and still maintain body weight?
Right. That's the question that everyone wants to know, how to lose weight. Now, let's talk about what does that BMI means and why you want to lose weight in one way and not it represented on the other calculation. So there are many other calculations besides on BMI. That's just one indice. One can use the body fat index. One can use different indices to measure how healthy one is. In terms of losing weight, the most important way to look at is, of course, what is your caloric intake on any given general day? 2,500 calories is the general recommendation. If one is trying to lose weight, we always suggest cut down on the total amount of calories in terms of input, and you want to exceed your output. So it's a simple, it is indeed science. If you know you want to lose weight, then your energy levels, your output have to exceed the input. And that's where exercise comes in. You want to obviously be exerting some level of energy. You want to be burning calories. You want to get your heart rate into that aerobic zone. All of that is going to help reduce the body mass. Hope that answers the question.
All right. Let's go with another question on a WhatsApp here. Good day. Does senior citizens need to take calcium tablets?
Good question. Again, most persons don't need any multivitamins if their eating habits are optimized. If they're eating well, if they're getting their balanced fruit and vegetables, then they won't need to. But if there's poor appetite, if there's weight loss, then certainly it won't hurt to be taking a calcium supplement. In fact, for most of my patients, I have them on specific supplements if there are any additional concerns. So in my cardiovascular patients, they're all on magnesium and zinc supplements. Similarly, our diabetic patients, they tend to be on a zinc supplement just to help support their immune system. So yes, calcium is one of them. Some of them can be constituted within the general supplement because some persons take a multivitamin. However, if you're eating well, you may not need to take one. Hope that answers the question.
All right. Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, doctor. What happened? I'm a diabetic for a couple of years. Well, from 2 days ago now, I realized I have burning, real burning like pepper under my feet.
Wow.
And when I check my sugar level, everything is good.
Mm-hmm.
Up to this morning, I checked my sugar. It was 135. When I get up this morning, I check it first. It was 98 after I had breakfast and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
After 2 hours, I check it. It was 135.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've taken 2 glucophage in the morning, 2 in the afternoon.
Right.
2 days now, it is burning, real burning.
Okay.
I'll listen off the air.
So I'm glad you're sharing this with us. I'm sorry you're experiencing that burning. That is indeed preliminary signs of neuropathy, and it may be related to the previous diabetic damage. Now, when I say previous, right now you have it under control, and you shared that the morning value was under 198.97, something so. The 135 milligrams per deciliter is still a little bit over what we would want it. We want our diabetics to come under the 120. So under the 120 milligrams per deciliter is where it is best. What I would suggest is, in addition, you already said you're taking your metformin, your glucophage. That's great. Let's see where you can cut back any bits of sugar. And with this neuropathy that you're presenting, keep monitoring it. Two, if it continues for at least a week, then certainly please present to your healthcare professional. What I would also address is, in addition to watching what you're eating and cutting down the sugar, we put most of our patients who are on diabetes, who has the any sort of neuropathy, on that thiamine multivitamin. It's a B1 multivitamin that's very helpful for patients with any sort of nerve pain. You can start that most of those are over the counter, so you won't even need a prescription to get that. Conversation with your pharmacist will also guide, or your healthcare professional. But monitor it, keep a sterner check on your sugar levels, try to get it under 120 milligrams per deciliter, and just watch what you're eating and cut down a little bit on the sugar intake. A thing most of our Trinidadian population doesn't realize, the sources of sugar: pasta, roti. And yes, I'm the one who's saying have a little bit less. Pasta, roti, rice. All of those are high intakes, high glycemic intakes, and spikes the sugar level. So I hope that answers the question. Let's see. Give yourself about a week and call us again. Let us know how those sugar values are going. And of course, how is that burning sensation going?
All right, folks, and remember, if you're not getting through to 625-2257, you could also try 627-3223. Thank you. Hello, good afternoon. You're listening to The Lunchtime Duck. And, of course, message us at 306-1065. 13 minutes away from 1 o'clock. Let's check the lines. Hello, good afternoon.
Hello, good afternoon. Hello?
Yes, sir, go ahead.
Yeah, okay. I just want to call back again to ask the doctor a question. Given that we are still in a different lifestyle now, you know, hustling and moving across, I have never suffered with anxiety. And lately, I have started to suffer with this anxiety because of jobs, working with a job, late hours and these things. What can you recommend, Doc, to curb this anxiety and, get back to a sense of normalcy, which I would like to get back to?
Yeah. And first and foremost, I want to reassure you that you're absolutely not alone. And thank you for sharing so openly. Even just as we entered into the studio here, that was a conversation just about anxiety. Many persons out of the pandemic, it feels as if everyone is still in a state of post-traumatic stress disorder. So it may very well be that PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, because we're on hyper alert, we're on hyper vigilant. What I recommend, I'm glad you're in that acknowledgement phase. So you've recognized that. Next step is acknowledging, or a little bit of introspection, what may be triggering it. Is it the demands of the day? Is it trying to juggle a number of different activities? Is it not getting proper sleep in the night? Is it, of course, financial unwellness triggers a lot of anxiety. So identifying what the trigger is, and then, of course, your plans and preparations. Writing down always helps. Sometimes we actually need to list it out. And you put it on one side, you put your concerns on one side, and you draw a column, put the rest on the other side, your solutions. And literally attacking one by one. Most importantly, at night, because that's when most persons experience this heightened anxiety. They go to rest at night and all of the thoughts come through. There's no way you can solve any of your concerns at that point in time. Putting some sort of plan in place, putting steps in place. You may need to even have a conversation with a loved one or a conversation with a therapist. Or at nighttime in particular, start to, just like we talked about, that journaling. And you can even, during the course of the week, during the course of the day, you can also add in a layer of either meditation, yoga, mindfulness. All of those things help can deal or counter anxiety. Anything that you would do to either disarm the body. And when we say disarm the body, is you've identified what you're experiencing, you've trying to figure out your triggers, and of course you're spanning the effect of the anxiety, will indeed give you some level of relief. If it's beyond just doing these natural particular ways in terms of meditation or yoga or mindfulness, then there are also medications to help counter the anxiety. What I have found personally with a lot of my patients, we tend to recommend just going out into nature, hiking, walking. A lot of that gives you that quiet time to counter the anxious thoughts. And of course, the introspection. Once you're able to identify the trigger, then you're certainly better equipped to deal with the concern. Hope that answers your question.
All right, let's try the lines again. Hello, good afternoon. Welcome.
Good afternoon once again. I'd like to find out if garlic is a good thing for your body on a daily basis.
Good question. So can we use garlic on a daily basis? We certainly can. But again, everything in moderation. You're not going to be chunking down a whole clove of garlic every single day. But yes, there are a host of health benefits when it comes to garlic. You can grate it into your food, chop it into small pieces. Some people even use garlic into their garlic tea. What does it do for the body? Those who have high blood pressure, the garlic tends to be like a superfood that actually can help reduce the effects of hypertension. It certainly can impact upon the cholesterol levels and of course help ease or reduce that cholesterol level. So is it something that has a huge amount of health benefits? Certainly. How often are you using it? I would say no more than probably about a teaspoon or a tablespoon of finely chopped garlic in a day. You can have that in your meals. You can have that in any which way. But you're not going to be having it every single day as a whole clove of garlic. It is a powerful detox food and it certainly will give you those health benefits.
Okay, let's try this line here. Hello, good afternoon. Hello? I call her for 301. Please do try the other number, 625-2257. You're not getting through on that line. All right, for my lunch today, doctor, was boiled corn, boiled piwa, pawpaw, and water. Off the oils today.
Off the oils every day. I like that line. I think we're going to keep that line. Yeah. Off the oils every day.
But you just said today, eh?
I know. He said today.
Yeah. It's hard to keep it off every day.
The person said today, but how about we try every day? Mm. So, round of applause to you, sir, or to the mom, whoever it has sent it in. Thank you so much for sharing what's on your lunchtime plate. Good. I was almost base a little bit again. I was going to tell the person drop the PWA first here, you know.
Hello, good afternoon. As you see in person. Hello, good afternoon. On a different line. Something is wrong with your phone. All right, let's try. Good day, doc. I'd like to know something with diabetes and CTD, the autoimmune disease, are using medication for it. If they can use the natural way medication from India together with the normal medication. You were speaking about it with the last few callers. And where can I purchase it? Someone with diabetes.
Okay, thank you so much. So where can you purchase these naturopathic medications? That one is not an answer that I can certainly give you, but I certainly do know that there are a host of other medications on the market in terms of helping to deal with diabetes. Please stay consistent with what your healthcare professional would have prescribed because that is tried and tested. What we don't recognize is that once one is already diagnosed as diabetic, we need to be consistent every single day with that medication. If not, the sugar levels are going to be elevated. Even if we try other medications, the sugar levels are still going to stay elevated if what we're eating is bad. Now, I want to just highlight that point because we tend to think, well, no, we take any medication, so we can still eat what we want. If you're eating what you want and on medication, your sugar levels can still be elevated. Just again, recently, the interns at the Diabetic Association, they did a full detailed data analysis on some of the current most popular meals here in Trinidad and the spikes that happens. So sometimes after you have a normal meal, let's say our Sunday brunch, which is kalaloo and rice and macaroni, all of that is a high amount of glycemic index. So it may send your blood sugar levels of a surge of up to 50, 60, 70, 80 points. So one needs to stay consistent with the medications along with watching your nutrition. Nutritional management is so important to any diabetic. Hope that answers your question.
Diabetes again, boy. I am diabetic, plus I have high cholesterol. Can I eat food with coconut milk? I eat a lot of chow. Is that okay?
So yeah, that's okay. You can have your chow. That's excellent. Keep in mind though that mangoes can have a high glycemic index, and you did mention that you're both diabetic and high cholesterol. Coconut milk, I will tend to ease off a little bit. Yes, coconut milk does have a high amount of saturated fats in it. If you're using it as part of your meals, then just a little bit in moderation. Everything in moderation.
All right, good day, doctor. This one is coming from Sky. What causes a person to feel cold when the sun is hot?
Now, there are many things. One, it could be a hormonal imbalance. One who's hyperthyroid can either be feeling very, very warm or very, very cold if they're hypothyroid. So if you have a thyroid imbalance, if there's an autoimmune imbalance. So there are a couple of things that one may have or cause a dysfunction in their thermoregulation. If you're experiencing this and it's affecting your quality of life, please get that checked out.
All right, just about 3 more minutes. Afternoon, doctor. Would walking on a high incline on the treadmill help with the exchange of oxygen and carbon dioxide?
Good question. Yes, it certainly will. And I know exactly what you're referencing. On the treadmill, you can be walking flat. But when you put that incline up a little bit, you're going to now start to really work those calf muscles. You're going to work it. That is literally putting your heart on a little bit more strain, and that increases the aerobic burn. Does it help? And the question you ask, does it help with your exchange? No, it might increase your oxygen output and build up your carbon dioxide. So you will need to take specific breaks, or when you're doing that, you need to ensure you're having your deep breathing and exhalations of your carbon dioxide.
All right, let's try a call. Hello, good afternoon.
Yeah, question for the doctor. Doctor, we know eating meat is bad. Or eating too much meat is bad, but if you eat no meat at all, could you get rickety bones or what we call brittle bones?
Of course.
I'll listen for the answer. Thank you.
So, good question. Do we get a protein deficiency if we're not having meat? Yes, one can be at risk, but it depends again on your nutrition. So, if you are indeed having optimal sources of protein, there's chana, lentils, spinach, where you can get your sources of protein. So if you're having that, then you may not get any sort of protein deficiency. There are many vegans that I know. My best friend in medical school was vegan, and he absolutely had no protein deficiency, balanced by proper nutritional management.
All right, last one. There we have just about 30 seconds, Doc.
So yeah, we're down to the last 30 seconds of the lunchtime, Doctor. This is what I believe show number 500 and something.
Many more to go.
I want all of our listeners, take one bit of information, share it with a loved one. Don't just listen to the doctor talking. Implement it into your life. You owe it to your family. Spread the love, spread the health advice. eat well, live long, and live another day to come back and celebrate all the goodness of the life.
All right, thank you very much. Of course, you've been listening to The Lunchtime Doctor with the kind compliments of Super Farm right here on Freedom 106.5 FM, Sky 99.5, Freedom 106.5 FM, and of course, Sangeet 106.1. Do enjoy the rest of your day, and of course, we'll catch you next week on Monday.
When you need the independence to speak your mind, you take it on the all-new talk radio, Freedom 106.5 FM.